Welcome back, everyone. My name is Joe, and you're joining us for episode number 3 of The Hobby Heroes. With me, as always, Ryan. How you doing, bud?
Joseph, I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Not too bad, not too bad. So, before we get into the show proper here, I wanted to mention a listener comment, because the guy posted in a couple places, and if nothing else, I'm open to the criticisms. He said that we're having an issue with background noise. Now, I don't know. I don't hear it, but I might be tone deaf doing a podcast for enough years. You just learn to tone things out. So I will open that up. If anybody does notice a lot of background buzz, by all means, let us know, like this guy did. I'm going to try a little something different in post-editing before this show goes up, so hopefully that'll get rid of it. I did ask a number of people. Mostly what I heard was, if you turn it up loud enough, yeah, there's a background hiss, but I didn't hear anyone else complain about a buzz, so I don't know if maybe it's this dude's speakers or what, but we'll try something different, and if those of you that do hear it, let me know, and if this episode comes out clearer than the others, let me know that, you know, what I did work so I can continue to do it. That would be helpful. So that's that for the listener comment. Again, we appreciate the feedback. And we're going to kick right along now. In our second episode, we covered a little bit of Ryan's history as far as gaming. So this episode, we're going to cover a little bit of mine. Again, just quick synopses of, you know, kind of where we came from. So our local FLGS opened back in like 96. I was 13 years old. And initially, me and my buddies were going there playing LANs. They had LAN computers, Warcraft, StarCraft, Quake, Unreal Tournament. Those were our bread and butter at that time. But slowly, I kind of got into Warhammer. I ended up playing Fantasy, Warhammer Quest. We played a lot of RPGs, a lot of Shadowrun, a lot of... what was that one game we played, Ryan? The Aberrant dudes. It wasn't called Aberrant, but...
Trinity Battleground.
Yeah, that was it. God, that game was great. Good time. D10 system.
Yeah, it was a good one.
That was one of my fond memories. moved on to playing 40K after a while and played that for a really long time. Took a break at the end of high school. Ended up playing LARP for a number of years. Went back to 40K for probably 5 years. And then 7th edition came out. Got into Warhammer. Started playing again. Got back into podcasting. Got into podcasting in 08 with the WoWcast. Sold everything that wasn't Warhammer related. And decided just to go nothing but fantasy. Fast forward to now, you know. I mean, years later, I'm still playing. We're still recording. Obviously, we've switched from Warhammer to Kings of War, which, you know, no biggie about that. We did get into a second game system, so whereas I'd sold all my other stuff except for Fantasy, now we're playing Wild West Exodus as well. But that's really the long and short of it. I mean, we've been in the games forever. I've probably played, you know, a dozen or so smaller miniature games between, like, 2000 and 2007 before I got back into Fantasy. Like, played like two or three different Star Wars versions, Cav, Heavy Gear, Crimson Skies. You know, I mean, comes and goes with stores as they crowd kind of this way, that way thing. But that's it. I mean, you know, mine sounds a lot like everyone else's. You know, it's 20 years of just playing games, which I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, just doing what you want to do.
Right. So, I mean... short and sweet, quick synopsis. That's what it is. Mine's simple. let's move on to what we've been up to. What have you been doing?
As in, like, hobby-wise?
Yeah, hobby-wise. I know you're not doing a ton. Still remodeling the room, getting the front porch built.
Yeah, still getting that done. I'm excited to do something else, so now I got to build a wall, and it's a whole nother situation. But that's that. But as far as hobby goes... I've been working on Wild West Exodus. Outlaw Miniatures is having a paint contest on their forums. You paint up five guys that have a specific type that you have to have. But submit that, and you can win some battle foam, and I think like a novel, you know, a couple of different prizes. So I've been working on that. I actually just finished up my fifth model last night, so I got all five done. I just got to take some pictures and get it up on the forums. Not my best work. I was just, you know, slapping it together and using it more as a, you know, fire to light under me to get some painting done, because I haven't done any hobby in a while. So it's not real detailed, but I'm still happy with it. It's kind of amazing what those new washes that are just out there, like the GW ones and the Vallejos. Those washes are amazing. You just base coat and put those on there, and that's half the job right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty much what I've been doing. What about you, Joe?
Hobby-wise, well, model-wise, at least, I painted a troop of knights to bring my Empire/Kingdoms of Men army up to 2 regiments. I think that's that'll do that army a lot of good, having 2 full-size regiments of knights rolling around. Plus, then I could combine them into a horde sometimes just to be different. Started painting my Forest Chambler unit that I bought. I only finished one, but it was a lot of fun to paint. Like, the models are actually really pretty good. They're metal, which, you know, some people hate metal. I actually could care less one way or the other, honestly. But I painted one of them. The other two were primed and base, just sitting there looking at me as I do other things. I painted a unit of 5 of the Games Workshop Fenrisian Wolves that I had laying around. I was going to use them in a vampire count army, but that kind of went off to the wayside a little bit. So I decided to use them as flea bags from the Goblin army. No riders on them. I mean, if you look at the models, the wolf is literally bigger than my Kingdom of Men guys. So I figured they deserve the thunderous charge without the goblin on the back. And that lets me ally giants into my human army. So, you know, I'm all for that.
Really, that's the end goal, right?
Pretty much, yeah. It's just, you know, me working up models to put in the army as allies and get the giant in.
Yeah, I'm one of those that just has a strong dislike for metal. But I don't, you know, it's not going to shy me away from any models. But given the choice, if I can get something cool in plastic or something cool in metal, I'm going to go plastic.
Yeah, the Fenrisian rolls are really nice. I still have to paint up another 5 of them to get the regiment, but we'll get there.
Yeah, those are good models. And I saw the Shamblers, whatever, the Treemen, and they were good looking as well. Those are some nice models.
Yeah, personally, I think the Forest Shamblers are better than the GW Treekin, but I haven't liked those things. And, eh.
I'm with you. I don't like them either.
They're just twisty and silly looking.
Yeah, too spindly.
Very.
But yeah, all the models that Mandic come out with recently have been top notch, I think.
Agreed. Let's see, what else did I do? I've been building some extra movement trays. I built some War Machine bases, the 50 mils, you know, that we didn't ever have to use with GW. Filler pieces to give me some more options for lists, so been working on the human army. Hopefully over November I'll finish the Shamblers, but I don't think that's real likely because I'm going to be trying to work on my orc army, which finally came in the mail.
Hey.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little while. If anybody, I did a little extra show between 2 and 3 here where I kind of talked about what that whole army in a month or weekend thing is, so I don't think I'm going to finish it in a month. I'm going to try, or, you know, a weekend, I'm going to try for the month. And even that, I think, is kind of not likely.
Disappointing, Joe. You're supposed to do it in a weekend. That's the whole point.
You know what? I say it. I'm loving Mantic. I'm loving what they're doing. God, I hate ResTech. I don't know who, I don't know whether that material is supposed to be cheaper than everything else. Scraping mold lines off that is horrendous. It just is.
Yeah, I haven't had the pleasure of that yet. I got the Dwarf Mega Army and some extra stuff, but I haven't actually dove into it yet, so that gives me something nice to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, I don't know how much in your army is going to be resin, though. I mean, I know the Brock Riders are.
Yeah, I think I just got those and maybe like a character or two, because I don't think any of the main infantry are.
Well, I got the Orc Army, and I've been cleaning it, because there's no way I could actually get this army cleaned and built in the weekend. So I'm like, well, I'm going to scrape mold lines beforehand. And the chariots are horrendous. I mean, just bad on the mold line front. Not to mention very warped, which I'm not super knocking the whole warping thing. Like, I get it. They put it in a box. They put it on a boat. The boat crosses the ocean. It's in and out of hot and cold temperatures. Like, you're going to get warpage in there. But it is easy enough to fix. Like, you just boil a pot of water, drop it in there, and you can reshape it, which is actually pretty convenient because the bores were all pretty gappy. But once you put them in the hot water and you press them together, that gap disappears. And then you, while you're holding it together, you dip it in ice water and it solidifies back in that shape. So it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I saw that piece you were showing me of the cherry, and it was pretty well warped, but it's at least there's an easy fix for it.
Yeah, it's not too bad. So That's what I've been doing hobby-wise. But game-wise, FlatCon has come and gone. Now, we didn't get the turnout that we needed for a tournament. In fact, we didn't get the turnout enough to even run a small tournament. So Chuck was running an Age of Sigmar event on Sunday, and I was running Kings of War on Saturday. And what we ended up doing was dropping the Age of Sigmar thing on Sunday, combining the two. We just split our tables and did demos for both games. So we had two Age of Sigmar tables, two Kings of War, and we ran demos for anybody that wanted to come up and play. I think we demoed for like 5 or 6 people. Not terrible. I mean, I take baby steps. You take everything you get down here. Just south of Chicago, it's not a huge community. We have to grow it from scratch. So,
yeah, no, I mean, you got to get people into it somehow.
I did get Chuck his, during that whole time, me and Chuck got in a couple games, kind of inaugural, like getting him into this. So, pretty excited about that. I think he dug it. It's quite a bit like, you know, I mean, it's like the old days. It's what it is. It's fantasy, you know. It's close enough to fantasy that he got right into it. We got our buddy Kevin a demo game in and his kids while they were there. He said the same thing. He said, you know what, for $25, he said, even if I play it 2-3 times a year just with you guys, it's worth the money. He's like, it's not that different from fantasy. It's easy enough.
Yeah, if you've played Warhammer Fantasy, one game you'll have Kings of War picked up at least enough to then, you know what you're doing.
Right. Not a hard game at all.
No.
Totally worth trying it out. So the only other thing I did is, like I said, I recorded like a little extra episode in between these two and put that up, kind of talking about the army and weekend thing. So anybody that's interested in hearing about that can go check that out.
From what I can see on Twitter, you're all failing at this, doing it in a weekend. You're all cleaning early, pre-priming.
We are
What's
terrible.
Going on here?
Mostly, I think a lot of people have realized that getting it done in a weekend is very unlikely.
Yeah.
I don't know what Rob's excuse is. His ogre army, like it's 20 models or something. He's just wanting to be fancy, I think. I don't know. To be fair, the only thing I'm going to probably get done before the weekend that we do it is literally cleaning the mold lines on the ResTech stuff. I don't think I'm going to get to any stage of assembly, and I'm certainly not going to get around to priming it, because I think some of the dudes have primed their stuff already.
Yeah. It seems to be turning more into paint and army in a weekend.
Pretty much. And, I mean, I get that.
It's still impressive, though. I mean, you're doing, what, 1,000 points to paint it in a weekend is still telling, you know?
Agreed. I think the best I'm going to do is get the assembly and on bases and stuff in a weekend. So if I get there, I'll be happy, honestly. And I just need to get, like, playable. I don't know. Like, cutting the movement trays or cutting the unit bases out of some MDF shouldn't take me more than, like, 20, 30 minutes. I only have to make, I don't know, I got a horde, a regiment, 2 troops, and a couple of care. So I have to make, like, 4 trays and then, like, two like, you know, a 25 mil base and then a 25 by 50 base. Shouldn't be hard. Like, I shouldn't have a problem getting that done, like, 10 minutes. My plan is to spray prime basically the bulk of the army brown and green. So base coats will be done in, like, hour or two as you let the paint dry.
I don't know, man. You need to just order those bases. BrokenEgg.com, they got some great deals on those bases.
Yeah, there was another one that someone shared a link with me to where it's the square bases, but the circles are already cut out of it for the Mantic stuff.
Oh, that'd be nice.
And I had a hard time not just immediately jumping on that.
I don't know. It's hard to beat Broken Egg for the price, though. I mean, you're getting, you know, about 10 bases for the price of 2 or 3 that the other companies that I've seen. I don't know about this one that you're talking about, but, I mean, it was just hard. I mean, when I looked, and this is the one that we found, I mean, this was a no-brainer.
Well, I have a lot of MDF sitting around. And so it's really more of justifying having this stuff sitting around. I just as soon use it, you know?
Yeah, no, that's also fair. I mean, if you got the tools and the material, that's also reason to do that. But I didn't have it, and I didn't want to buy it. And
which, again, more than fair.
I got a ton of bases for, you know, less than $30, and so I'm set for my entire Dwarf Army Plus. So it was a good deal.
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen your guys' stuff. Like, they're solid bases. I don't have a problem with the company or the product they're putting out. I just as fast and cheap to make it myself, just because I have the materials around, it's not that hard.
Yeah, check them out, brokenegg.com.
We'll throw a link up in the show notes with the blog post.
Yeah, hopefully that's the right address. It's called, the company's Broken Egg. Hopefully it's brokenegg.com.
I'll try and find a link to throw in there for what I'm talking about too. I can't remember the name of the company right now, but like I said, they sell the bases with the circles already cut in them. And I think it was Johnny P from up in Chicago. I ran the tournament at Dragonfall, and I asked him about them. And he told me that the way the bases come is squares, and then they've got the circles like ranked up, you know? And he said he sent him an email and says, hey, I don't want the 40 circles for my horde. Can you stagger it out to like 32 circles kind of in a random pattern so that it isn't so perfect? And he said they were more than willing to do that, and they did that for him, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, the whole thing is, we talked about as well, is, you know, it is still ranks and flanks. You get too wild with it, you're losing your ranks in there as well. And so, I don't know, I'm going to try and still keep mine somewhat ranked up and, you know, keep them in a somewhat order. I mean, it's different depending on the army that you play, but for my dwarves, there should still definitely be some sort of order. They shouldn't just be running around like rabble.
No, I agree.
But it's at least nice that company is willing to work with you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice that the companies are just, because, I mean, that's a pretty specific request. Like, hey, can you change what is clearly your template cut? And they didn't mind doing that, so that's pretty cool. The only other thing I can think of, like, not news, I guess, or not hobby, I guess, but kind of news, is Mantic has come up and said, hey, we are dropping Uncharted Empires, and it's going to be, what'd they say, late November?
Yeah, it should be. They said available second half of November. So who knows when that's actually going to be. Probably early December by their, you know, standard time frames. But
come on now.
I'm just saying.
I know. Well, I think that they overextended with the Kickstarter and didn't realize how long it was going to take them to get all that crap out. But yeah, it's pretty exciting. So that's set for late November. They haven't given an exact date. But, I mean, we've discussed it. I'm sure everybody's discussed it. Everyone that's listening knows what it is. It's essentially that gap. It's the stopgap. It's the crossover for the Warhammer Fantasy armies into Kings of War. Now, that's exciting for a number of reasons. Most of all, the fact that those of us who own old armies have the ability to suddenly bring all this extra stuff into the game.
Yeah, and it's only, what, like a $25 book? Like a supplement. So for $25, I can now use my Lizardmen and my Warriors of Chaos and Kings of War.
Right. And then the obvious other boon is that it brings a lot of players into the fold. You know, there are a number of us who, like you, me, Dave, we owned armies that easily transferred into Kings of War anyway. Kings of Men, Undead, whatever, Ogres. But there are some people who literally just own Skaven or just own Lizardmen or just own things like that, Bretonians, you know, that they want to bring into this game. Not so easy, and now these crossover lists are going to make that possible for them, which is really cool. The lists are, just to go through the book, we don't have it, but just to go through it, they're going to be a number of lists, and we're just going to tell you. The Bretonians are now called, well, in this game, they're going to be the Brotherhood. The League of Rordia is what would be, I guess would be like the 5th edition Empire book, because that had the halflings in. The League of Rordia has a ton of halfling units. They're going to have the Ratkin, which will be the Skaven. The Beastmen are now going to be called the Herd. Empire of Dust would be Tomb Kings. And then I have no idea how to pronounce what I'm assuming is their version of Warriors of Chaos, the Varangor, I think it is. Salamanders are Lizardmen. Now, they have two secret lists that they're working on, and it's the Trident Army of Neretica, which is apparently Fishmen, which has been like, I think that's kind of like a joke, but it is what they're doing. They actually have like fishman models in the Forces of Nature list. But for ages, everyone's always joked, you know, oh, what is the new fantasy race going to be? It's going to be fishmen. And so they're doing fishmen, which, whatever.
Yeah, I'm curious to see them. I mean, I'm intrigued by that army. I just want to see the models that go with it.
Well, I mean, like I said, they've got pictures of the ones in the Forces of Nature list. So if they're anything like those don't look bad. You know, I think they look fine. And then the other one is called the Night Stalkers. Now, there's nothing, no one said a word about what the Night Stalkers are, so we have no real idea.
I'm hoping for like a Naga snake people type army.
See, I was thinking in the original kind of like few like pieces they dropped out made it kind of sound like ninjas and pirates, which, the pirates obviously kind of morphed into the fishmen, and then the Night Stalkers, there hasn't been any kind of real confirmation as to what they're going to be. Could still be ninjas? I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing it, though.
No, I agree. Yeah, I mean, it is pretty open at this point. It doesn't really say what it is, so it is curious. I will be curious to see what it is, and hopefully it's cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I mean, check that out. That's, you know, we're recording this on November 2nd. We'll drop it around November 15th is kind of when I plan to drop all our shows. They haven't released a date. Originally, I had heard it was supposed to be out on, like, the 12th. So I guess the weekend before we would release the show.
That wouldn't be late November, though.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's... But that was before they came out and said late November. And I'd listen to them, I guess, over the rumor of the 12th. But very excited for that. The price, I think, was $12.99 British pounds. Which, yeah, for Americans, that's about $25. Throw in shipping. You get the book for about $30 if you buy it from Mantic. You can get it from U.S. suppliers, of course, for cheaper, I'd imagine. Especially discount stores, that online discount stores or eBay if you really want to do it. But I'm going to buy it straight from the horse's mouth. I have heard that they are doing the digital thing, so you can buy it digitally if you want a PDF of it. I'm undecided whether I want the hardcover or the PDF. I really do like the books. I'm a book person. But there is also that instant gratification of, hey, the day they drop, it will be available for download on PDF if you have it. And otherwise, you're going to have to wait to actually get a physical copy.
Yeah, I just went to their website, and it is $24.99 US. But if you also look, it's got a picture of the cover of the book, but then it's also got two other pictures. One is obviously a fish person riding a serpent, and the other guy is kind of like maybe a Chaos Marauder, or maybe even like a Kislev type guy.
I've not seen this. Where the hell is this at?
You just go to the main page and then wait a second, it'll pop up like Uncharted Empire is available for pre-order on their main scrolling thing.
Okay.
And if you just click on it, it'll pull it up where you can pre-order it, and then there's two pictures at the bottom you just click on. I hadn't seen it either, but I figured I would look.
Where the hell did it go? Okay, there we go. Clicking on it. Yeah, that's definitely a dude like riding a Naga thing or a sea serpent. Okay. And the other dude, I don't know. Yeah, he just looks like a warrior.
Yeah, it looks kind of Norse-ish.
I don't know. Could be like a dog of war. Could be dogs of war army.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But
one of like the things that they'd kind of teased was, they didn't say what the unit was, but it was, from what it read, it was basically the Birdmen of Katraza. So dudes on flying machines, dive bombing units. So, I mean, that's what it sounded like. Can't say that that's what it is.
Right.
So, very excited.
Now, I will not be ordering this book directly from Mantic. I am currently frustrated with their customer service for reasons that I won't go into at this time. At some point, I will get on my soapbox, but right now I'm still waiting for a resolution on a certain issue, and we'll see how that goes before I take to the airwaves, but I will be hopefully ordering through my local game store as long as they can get it and getting it through them.
And not be whiny about it.
I'm trying not to be whiny. I'm giving them a chance, but it's getting hard at this point.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I know what you're frustrated about. So, yeah, so that's that. And we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk some games. You All right, so we're back. Let's talk some games. So here we stand, and we didn't have FlatCon. And that had kind of been our original plan, was to discuss how FlatCon went for us. But since we didn't do it, and we didn't have a tournament, and Ryan didn't come up because he knew we weren't going to have the actual tournament, and he felt no need for a demo game. What do you do? We got lucky with the whole last-minute throwing together of the Dragonfall tournament. Didn't get lucky with the last-minute throwing together of FlatCon. Take him and leave him. I mean, you know, is what it is.
I mean, Dragonfall, Chicago, you got a bigger player base up there, so it was bound to happen at some point.
That said, we did get a game in ourselves using our FlatCon lists, which you can hear us discuss on episode 2. And what we did is we played the invasion scenario. We just rolled one right out of the book. You're trying to get your units into your opponent's deployment zone, well, into their half of the table, I think is what it was. And, you know, par for the course. Ryan stomped my face.
Yeah. Rolled you up, son.
Pretty much. It was all right. It was a decent game right up till the end. And then what usually happens is I do fine right until the end of the, like, turn 4 and then turn 5 and 6. The accumulated damage, I just fall apart. And that tends to be how our games go at the moment until I figure out how the hell to beat Ryan's ogres. I think that has a lot more to do with me as a player than it does the lists. But turn 1, I had some pretty good dice. Cannons combined with some handguns. Managed to broke a regiment of ogre boomers that had walked up. Pretty good luck on my end, blowing a unit off on turn 1. Ryan, you know, marched across.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still trying to work on some movement things here, but ogres still, I mean, at the heart of it, just go forward. And so all my big units, I just pushed forward, but I tried to stay out of the charge range of all his stuff, but at some point I had to give up a charge to his calf, so I decided to put the big legion of the ogre warriors up and try and convince him to charge into that, and it worked. So Joe charged his calf into it, they bounced off, and then on my turn, countercharged it, and then I just lost my train of thought, being stupid. And so then at that point, I had pretty much the range advantage. His cav was done on at least on that flank of the table, that side, and so I was able to pick and choose my charges at that point, and it. That side just started to fall. And then on the other flank, we were basically just playing tag. He had his griffin on one side flying around a building, you know, doing breath attacks on different units, while I had my seed breakers just kind of still pushing forward, going after, what's it, the Beast of War, is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think it was the Beast of War that ended up over there. It's what I'm using as a steam tank. I mean, I had a small unit of knights over that way, and I tried to go over and kind of block stuff up, which they did for a little bit, and I flew the griffin around, kind of breathing fire. Really, the big mistake is I went all crazy, gung-ho, idiot, and ran my knight regiment into your legion. I don't know why I did that, because I'm stupid. Again, this is me needing to learn to play the list as opposed to the lists playing me, because yeah, I do stupid things like that. I knew I wasn't going to break the Legion. I just went, I'm just going to go over there and see what happens. And unsurprisingly, I lost. And then through the counter charge, I lost them. But I think I got pretty good use out of the Griffin this time. He flew around for quite a bit, breathing fire on things. Them Siege Breakers are just tough bastards to crack, though.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's... And I thought you did go with that Griffin as well, because, I mean, I had some Berserkers back there, and then the Warlord Mage was back there as well, and you're just kind of harassing, and you just had some bad nerve roll checks. Like, there was I think the Berserkers, you should have wiped them out, and you just rolled really low on the nerve, and they stuck around an additional turn.
Yeah, but as far as Berserkers turn, mine did all right, too. The Legion eventually, after they got the Knights, they came forward, killed, I think it was the handgunners, and then turned to take the front charge from my Berserkers, and the Berserkers did a very good job of just running in and going crazy. So they blew up they took out the Legion. I can't remember if they eventually took out your berserkers when they came across either.
No, that was at the very end. It was kind of wrapping up, and we just kind of wanted to have Berserker off, and you won that battle handedly.
Right. And over on the, well, I guess it was my right, you had, what did you had your chariots and then another thing in there.
Chariots and the mammoth were over there.
And
they had a warlord on a chariot over there as well.
Yeah, and they combined hit the pike horde, who held for, you know, he held him down for a couple rounds, did a damn fine job, I thought.
Those pike guys are pretty good. I mean, taking away the thunderous charge, and was it minus one to hit? And they can, they're nothing to scoff at. I mean, you use those correctly, that's a good tar pit right there.
Yeah, absolutely. They can do some extended holding actions, which is what I usually use them for. I'm like, all right, well, that's the thing that I'm not going to kill. It needs to hold them. and that tends to be what it does. The really good thing that would come out of them would be, ideally, is if I could get you to hit them, stand there, and then have me positioned to hit you in the flank. That's kind of part of that whole me learning to play thing that I haven't done yet.
Yeah. Well, that's still the learning curve. And unfortunately, with me playing ogres, I'm not really learning much either. I mean, I'm still just pushing it forward. So eventually, I'll get these dwarves at least assembled and be able to start playing those to hopefully get a different, you know, view at the different, you know, aspects of the game. But in the end, it was a solid win to me. Like Joe said, it was kind of a back and forth game there until about turn four, and then everything just started to crumble on his end, and I just kind of swept up by the end of turn six. I guess the end of the game, you had, I think, just a character left. So it was a pretty solid win for the ogres. Not going to say I was unscathed at all, because pretty much every one of my units had quite a bit of damage on it.
Yeah, it was pretty great. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, for a game that ended, I mean, with you having one model, it was still a close game and still a fun game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the important part, is every game we're making is fun.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, that was our game. Now, have you gotten any other games in? I mean, I had a couple games of Flakon, but I really don't remember them.
Yeah, I had a game just about a week ago, I guess less than a week ago, with Dave, Wild West Exodus, and this was a really good game. I really enjoyed it. It was honestly one of the funnest games I've played in a long time. I'm got the lawman, so I had just a quick rundown, and I had Pat Garrett, just a small Morgan Earp, Doc Holliday, two UR-30 bots, the Interceptor jet bike, and then just some close combat hired hands and the deputy with a shotgun. Don't know exactly what he had, at least remembering, but yeah, I do know that he had Sitting Bull, a Sky Spirit, the Energy Beast, which is the crazy horse that I'll get into, and then Stone Fist and Running Foot is what it's called, which is basically a horse with huge cannons on it. And then I think around four or five, whatever his equivalent of hired hands are, to fill out his list. To start, Dave's kind of been running roughshod over all of us on Wild West Exodus.
That he has.
The Warrior Nation is really good, and so I didn't really go into it expecting to do a whole lot. My goal was to kill Sitting Bull. Like, that was it. Like, if I could kill that big turd, then I would call it a victory. And I did. And so he kind of ran forward, and I basically threw everything I had into him and brought him down. At that point, everything else was just gravy. But made a few mistakes. Like, right at the beginning, he pretty much took out Pat Garrett. He had a couple lucky shots that I should have used some influence to reroll an armor save, but instead in one shot, I guess it was two hit, one shot, two hits, I took 18 damage. And so he was pretty much out of it at that point. But then I actually started doing pretty good after that. I mean, I was taking out his stuff. I was hanging in there. And so by the end of it, he really just had his horse with the super big cannons and his Sky Spirit model versus two of my UR-30 bots. So I bet I made maybe four or five nine lives rolls on those stupid UR-30 bots. So they just kept getting back up. And I could not get first turn or initiative or whatever you want to call it. Like, every time a round would end and we would roll for who goes first, he would win it. And I just needed to win it once because he just had me at range. The UR-30 bots only have an 18-inch range. All his stuff had at least 24. And then the Sky Spirit has the Spirit Aim. And so it can just shoot through buildings. And so eventually, I got the horse. It was end of turn six. He left the Sky Spirit out and said, "All right, here's your shot. If you can kill him, the game's yours." So he gave me that opportunity instead of just, you know, ducking and weaving. And I just biffed it and couldn't get him. Only had to do 2 damage with 2 UR-30 bots and couldn't get the job done. Didn't have the appropriate equipment. So he won. It was actually a difference of 35 points. So it was a super close game, super fun game. We both have broken stuff. Those UR-30 bots are crazy. His stuff with Spirit Aim is crazy. So, but it was awesome. I had a great game. Probably the most fun game I've had in a long time. And I look forward to playing more Wild West Exodus at this point, because that really, really gave me that jonesing to get more of that game in.
Yeah, I think what I'm really taking away from this is I chose the wrong army to play. Because it seems like you guys have some really amazing stuff, and the Outlaws seem really outclassed. Now, that may just be I don't own the amazing stuff, but just looking at some of the models on the website, like I haven't seen anything in the Outlaw faction that stands out as like super impressive.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's got to be something. But yeah, I'm with you. I haven't found it yet. I mean, I even looked after playing that last game that we played for the previous show and didn't really see much that I thought was going to be game changing. You know, everything is good, but there's really not anything that's outstanding.
Right. I don't know. It's going to just be a hard road to hoe for me. Everything is hard for me to do. Just failure on top of failure.
You picked the hard army, that's for sure.
I don't know. Bad luck, I guess.
Like a challenge. I don't know.
I don't want a challenge. Hopefully the orcs will prove that opposite for me in this system, being like, well, orcs in this system do what you want them to do, and as far as like being a forgiving walk forward and pound face army, maybe I'll have some luck with my utter lack of tactics.
You just push them forward. It works for me with the ogres.
Yeah.
Well, against you it does.
Well, that's essentially all these are, so it'll just be a push it forward and see who rolls better dice.
Yeah.
Well, you'll get the charges at least.
Yeah, which is good. Not you know, as game-breaking as other systems, but still good.
Right. So let's look on to the next things we're going to do for... the idea, of course, behind us doing the show is to try and be narrative with most of our games, which hasn't happened in the last couple, but we do want to get into that direction. So we've been talking about a mini campaign or a story tree, something to do like that, and we've got a lot, I have a lot of campaign stuff from Games Workshop, so it's all tried and true stuff. We know it'll work. The question is how to convert it or alter it to fit Mantic and their world and their armies. It shouldn't be impossible, but there are some things that aren't going to cross over well. So our goal for sometime in the near future is to pick a campaign and try and, you know, mutate into Kings of War.
Yeah, and I think with the Uncharted Empires coming out, we're both going to try and use an army out of that book.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I was going to go lizards. You were going to go ratkin, or probably salamanders, I guess I should say.
Salamanders and ratkin. So yeah. What we're looking at right now is I have a number of the old supplements from the Lustria campaign and the Conquest of the New World supplement that went with the White Dwarf back in the day. We're going to take a look at those, see what we can kind of cross over, some ideas of what to use. Now, I don't think that the Ratkin and the Salamanders are necessarily as violent towards each other. I don't know, because we don't have that book. We don't have that background information yet on the armies. So it may not be really applicable to being like, you know, the Skaven always fought the Lizardmen. Well, maybe the Ratkin and the Salamanders don't fight hardly at all in this system. But we're looking for some kind of narrative to throw in there, and we're going to see if we can't mutate a Warhammer 1 into Kings of War.
Yeah, that seems to be the easiest route at this point, is to just kind of amend what's already out there.
Right.
And see how it works. And then, you know, not only can we say, hey, this worked or didn't work, and go forward from there, but we can also say, hey, you know, these Uncharted Empire armies are really good. They're terrible. They're overpowered. You know, it'll be good on many fronts for us to go, you know, to look at going forward.
Yeah, agreed. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll start with the tried and true and work backwards from that to original content on the campaign fronts. But for episode 4, at least, what we're going to do is we're going to do a scenario that we're going to build up. And we have decided to delve back into, again, the Warhammer days. So we went back to some of the old Warhammer scenarios. At one point, GW and the number of tournaments running, like, weather scenarios. And so we thought it might be entertaining to do a themed table. Particularly what we're going to do is we're going to do winter. We are going to fight across the Frozen River, which is essentially a map where Ryan starts on one side of the river, I start on the other side of the river, and the river is the 24 inches in the middle of the board. So our deployment zones are on the banks of this giant frozen river, and we essentially are going to go cross it and fight each other. But you know what they say about stepping on thin ice. So every time you move on this damn thing, every time a unit moves on it, you have to roll a dice. And on a 1, horrible things happen. And 5 to 6, you know, nothing's a big deal. And then various things in between. Some of these things are going to be modified without question. Like the 1 is, I think it was like every model in the unit takes an armor save. And if you pass your armor save, the weight kills the model. Well, obviously, Kings of War doesn't have armor saves. It doesn't have individual model deaths. So we're going to have to modify these charts. But it should give a really interesting play, because is it always going to be worth taking that move? You know, it might give you pause. And then there was also a weather effect going on during these games. Like, if it's a blizzard, you can't see farther, or you can't shoot farther. If it's raining, you slip and fall a lot. Black powder gets wet. Hail, like, you know, hail the size of golf balls hits you and your units take damage. Snow drifts where it's snowing, and so your guys get bogged down in that and moving. They can't move as fast as they'd like to. So it's got a lot of really interesting rules that we're going to have to sit down and go through and change up. I think it'll be kind of neat just to try something. I think it'll be really neat playing a game where the ground is working against you.
It's how bad do you want it? You know, is it worth it? I mean, do you take it slow? Do you have to double? I mean, I'm sure that can play a part into it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to be looking at doing that for at least the near future.
I miss those little scenario games and the campaigns, and that's something that Games Workshop did really well there for a while, like around like 6th edition, I guess, 5th and 6th, and then just kind of stopped. I mean, I don't know if there just, I guess, wasn't enough demand for it or what, but I always enjoyed them, and so being able to kind of break these out again, I'm really looking forward to it. Just, I have a whole box full of old White Dwarfs magazines that I'm going to go through and just see different things that were in there. And then try and bring them back to life and just try and make them workable. You know, it's something that I've always enjoyed, and now we get the chance to do it again.
Yeah, one of the things I'd really like to see Mantic do is, back in the mid to late 90s, GW did these, it was these small box sets. And you and I did one for the WoWcast back a while, where they were themed mini campaigns, and each campaign was like three scenarios, and there was a big storybook that, well, not like big, but like 20-page storybook that went along with it. And in the box was also some cardstock terrain that was themed specifically for that campaign. And I don't remember how much they cost back in the day. I don't know how much you would get away with making one now. But I think something like that would be really awesome if Mantic did that. Not that they listen to us, but
right.
If someone is listening to us, that's an amazing idea. You guys should look into that.
Well, and they do have an upcoming campaign. So I should be getting a digital copy of that with the, because I was in on the Kickstarter. I'm pretty sure I got that added on. So once I get that, we'll definitely look into doing that, because that's supposed to be a worldwide campaign that it can affect different aspects of the storyline going into the future.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to see what Mantic does with it. I downloaded their app the other day, and it is currently all it is like an interactive map of the known world of Mantica with these like exclamation points, and each one you can click on, it kind of tells you like what race is in that area and like little pieces of background information, but there's nothing else, you know. It's not like there's scenarios or battle plans or anything like that, but supposedly from what I've read is they're going to use that to implement this worldwide campaign, which I think will be really neat if they do it and do it well.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, I think I got an email or something at some point saying that they were still finalizing the app and that it should be live here shortly when that campaign book comes out.
Well, that'll be nice. That's it. Wow. Wrapping it up short tonight. I mean, what do you do? Sometimes you have content, sometimes you don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. We expected a bit more with FlatCon. We expected to have a whole tournament to review, and unfortunately just not the way that the delay played out. So we are a little bit short on this one, so we apologize for that. But we do have quite a few games coming up in November. So we should be able to have plenty of content coming up for the next show.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all looking at getting probably like six guys together over one day later this month and basically just sitting around playing games all day long. So that'll be a good deal when that happens. And we'll have plenty of games to talk about after that. So I guess that's it. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll be back in a month and listen for the in-betweens. Remember that on the 13th through the 15th is the Countercharge Army in a Weekend project. You can check out their stuff on that. I'll be recording with them, putting my orcs together. So be sure to support all those guys and us. Listen to the shows. Leave us reviews on iTunes. You can send either of us email, Joe or Ryan at thehobbyheroes.com. Follow us on Twitter, Hobby Heroes Cast, Facebook, The Hobby Heroes. All the fun social fronts. So that's it. Thanks for joining us. Have a good one, and we'll be back.
Take care, guys. Bye. We'll be right back.
Clubber Traffic. Radio station in your favorite radio city, the city by the bay, the city that rocks, the city that never sleeps.